My name is Yvonne Heilman. I am 62 years old. Today is September
25th,
2019, and I'm speaking with Bob Abrams, who is a colleague of mine at the Presbyterian Church headquarters. We are recording this interview in Louisville, Kentucky. These are going to be in random order. Can you tell me what role religion played in your life when you were growing up?
Well, it was very important. I was involved in church activities and also when I was in junior high school, then especially I was involved more completely with the youth groups.
In the denomination?
Presbyterian. I'm a fourth generation Presbyterian.
You remember the church before it reunited?
Oh, yes.
And you were, where were you born? What?
In Peoria, Illinois.
Okay. And so it was the United Presbyterian?
No, it was Presbyterian, USA.
That's right.
The forerunner of the Northern Church.
Okay. Yeah. A random question. How have your attitudes toward women's roles changed, if at all?
Well, in later years, of course, we've come to recognize the leadership abilities of women. And even in the so-called male jobs of engineering and architecture, so it's made me more aware of what women can do.
Was your mother a stay-at-home homemaker?
Yes, and before that she was a secretary in an insurance company.
Did your father expect her to work at home, or was he okay with whatever she chose?
Well, this was during the Depression, because I was born in 1923, so when I was, 7 years old, the Depression really hit, and my father lost his job, and the company was absorbed by another company. He was the only one of the whole group that went with the other company, that was asked to come to the other company. And
he must have been valuable to them.
Yes, he was an expert on getting hardware lined up for buildings, tall buildings. So he knew what had to be done for each part of it.
Did he have a lot of work in Chicago?
No. No, this was strictly around Peoria.
Okay.
And the area.
Were you born into the Presbyterian Church?
Yes.
Were your parents also born into the Presbyterian Church?
My father was, and my mother, I'm not sure whether she was born into it or not, but she was very active. I wasn't conscious of what her activity was until I was a little older.
And was she involved in the women's organization of the church?
Oh, yes. Yes, and she was. Both parents were in the choir when I was very young, and before I was born.
Did you think about going into ministry?
No, that was not on my list at all.
Was there anything about your career that was unexpected? Anything?
A lot of it.
Okay. As with most of us, I would think. What in particular, what did you envision doing and what did you end up doing?
I envisioned owning a hardware store because during high school, in the summer times, I worked in the wholesale hardware store like Belknap. In fact, Belknap was a competitor of ours in Illinois. And my father was one of the salesmen for that company because his building expertise, you know, wasn't needed during the Depression. Nobody was building. And so he became a salesman, and a very good one. And turned out that he became one of the top salesmen, and traveling around Central Illinois, he had certain dealers that he spoke to and got orders from. And as they had a whole crew of men doing that, and he was one of those rare people who was a traveling salesman who did not smoke or drink.
Good for him, an upright Presbyterian.
Yes.
Was that a comfortable living? Do you feel that you grew up in a middle class home, or were you struggling in spite of?
Well, everybody was struggling, and we were more comfortable than many others, even some of our neighbors.
During the Depression?
Yes.
Or even in the years afterward?
Well, primarily, in 1930 and through the early years in the 30s.
So you were born in?
23.
So in the 30s you were a child still.
Right.
And how did you worked for your dad, I imagine, with your dad?
No, he was one of the salesmen, and I was in the warehouse.
Okay, that was your first job then?
Not quite. I worked in a Ford garage as a sweeper and a gopher.
Typical first job, right?
Right.
And then you worked in the warehouse, and how did you end up on the career path that you eventually took?
Well, even in high school, I was involved in church rather consistently, and had a concern for people. I would visit the hospitals on the way home from school when we had a friend in there, which, looking back, rather surprised me.
That you did that?
Yeah.
Well,
that was on my own.
Yeah, that shows a remarkable maturity, I think, and a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
So your eventual occupation was working for the church, I take it.
Eventually.
But first you had a stint in the military.
Yes, I was in the Navy.
I remember you have some really interesting experiences there. When did you enlist?
My service began at Great Lakes on December 2nd, 1942, and it ended at Great Lakes June 6th, 1946.
So 4 years almost.
Well, it's over 3.5, yeah.
And I remember you told me about that you didn't actually make it to the front because you were on a ship that was taking its maiden voyage and it had an incident.
Yes, we had an I was on a large carrier, aircraft carrier, and going through the canal, we were under the pilot, you know, the canal pilot's control, and they're going across the lake between the locks, and the wind caught the ship because it was so big, you know, and the wind was strong and it forced the ship into the side of the shore, and bent the bow and took on water. So then it wasn't in danger of sinking, of course, it was just inconvenient. But
do you remember the name of the ship?
Oh yes, Intrepid.
So that's no doubt in the history books, that
oh,
incident.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah.
It
is a museum in the Hudson River.
Oh,
these
interesting.
Days.
So
yes.
Anybody can visit it.
Yes.
And the story of that incident is probably documented inside the...
Somewhere.
In the displays somewhere.
Well, we had to have a clamp put on the bow and at the end of the canal on the Pacific side. And then we had to go up to San Francisco to dry dock for permanent repairs because this was, you know, just to hold it together.
How did you feel about missing out on action in the war?
Well, I had letters and from friends, you know, who had been under kamikaze attack. And the ship was hit rather badly, and almost was sunk, but they were able to keep it afloat and survived. And I was fortunate that I was not involved in that sort of activity, and I was grateful that I. You know, I didn't try to avoid it, but I was transferred off into officer's training. I was a petty officer, a storekeeper, and so when I was transferred off in San Francisco dry dock, that's when I was sent to college by the Navy.
And in college, what did you study?
Well, I had to have a special course on mathematics because those of us who came in from the fleet, from other ships too, were weak on math. So we had special course for two trimesters of extra work in math, so that instead of having freedom from 4 o'clock to six, we had math there.
Did you get your bachelor's degree through the military?
No. No, I had to get a degree later on because the Navy courses included navigation and damage control and small arms fire and other activities like that, which did not apply to a business degree.
So you got your degree in business?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Marketing.
I'm going to move on because we're don't have a lot of time. We have 30 minutes remaining. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
Well, I'm grateful that the Navy sent me to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, where I met my wife. And we were married just as soon as I got out of the Navy, because the Navy did not permit the officer candidates to be married. You had to be single. If you were married, you're out. If you got married.
Is that why you left the military? Or?
Well, I didn't want to have a military career.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were thinking about going back into the...
business, yes.
Parts business?
Hardware.
Hardware.
Yes.
What are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Well, there's a lot of good people. And there's a few crooks, too. And you have to differentiate.
How do you differentiate?
Observance and experience.
Do you think there are more good people than bad?
Oh, yes. Yes. By all, I'm an optimist.
Can you describe one of your happiest memories?
Well, probably the day I got out of the Navy, and because we had a wedding all planned and the Navy kept extending my time.
Oh.
So I got out on the 6th, and the wedding was already planned for the 15th. And Wanda and her mother had planned this together, and they were hoping I could be there.
Well, as luck would have it, it turned out you were.
Yes.
And how long were you married?
70 years.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Another testament to your character.
And to my wife's patience.
Can you tell me about one of your most difficult memories?
Well, probably when she died. Because
of course.
Because she had a stroke which wiped out her memory, and then she had a year in memory care where we could not discuss anything. We didn't have anything to discuss. She couldn't remember anything.
And did she wonder who you were?
No, she recognized me, but we had no common subjects to talk about.
I remember you told me that you used to like to fly together.
Oh yes, you mean the gliders?
The gliders, yes. You used.
Oh, that was in. That came in. Well, after I came to Louisville.
How did you discover that as a?
Yeah, it was. Well, I discovered an ad in the paper that they were presenting an opportunity for glider flights in Bardstown Airport. And so I've always been interested in gliders. I mean, we've done a lot of air travel, of course, but you know, on passenger planes. But we went down to the Bardstown Airport, and sure enough, there were gliders. And so I paid for a flight, and that started it. And that's because I thought I'm 80 now, and I wanna get something before I die. And so here I am, 16. No, more than that. Yeah, I was I was 80 and now I'm 96, so it's 16 years later. I'm still
Taking glider flights?
Yes.
What a thrill, right?
Yes. Oh, and, I like it.
And did Wanda like it as much as you?
Well, she stayed on the ground and prayed.
Okay, I was under the impression she went up with you.
No.
Okay.
No, but she did have a flight on her 90th birthday and liked it. So that was good.
Well, good. That's definitely on, should be on everyone's bucket list, right? What are you proudest of in your life? And why does it make you feel proud?
Well, let's see, I think I feel that I did a good job in India as treasurer of the mission.
And the treasurer of the mission?
The Presbyterian. But I was also treasurer of the New Zealand Presbyterians, along with that.
Were you working as treasurer for the Presbyterian Church in the U.S.?
Yes.
Or for the partner church?
No, my salary and appointment were from the U.S. church at the request of the Indian church, Church of North India.
Because of your good work, how did that facilitate mission work?
Well, because I was the paymaster, and I had a good crew who did it. I mean, they were the strong crew that knew what to do, and so we got everything done, and I made plans with the various banks so that I could make a lump sum in Bombay, and it would flow out to the other branch banks to the individuals, and I guaranteed to the bank, I guaranteed double the amount that we would, you know, that each one would get, and so that I would guarantee a reserve, so that they didn't have to worry about it if they had to go over their overpayment, over expense.
And they were paying for mission co-workers or for
yes.
materials for programs?
No, mission co-workers. And that was my main part. And of course, we were also supporting hospitals and schools
mm-hmm.
Throughout North India.
How many years were you in India?
We were there just a little over 4 years.
And in New Zealand?
Well, that was with the New Zealand.
Okay.
Work.
So you didn't live in New Zealand?
Oh,
did you?
No.
Okay.
No. No, we visited that later on.
Mm-hmm.
But we were there. Our work was church work was very complementary to each other. In other words, we cooperated. And I would meet new missionaries at the ships or the airports to bring them into India and get them acclimated.
Did you help them find places to live and
well,
ways to learn the language and all of
no,
that?
No, because they had to go into the different areas.
Mm-hmm.
We had three main areas in India. There was Kamati for the Presbyterians, and each area had its own language.
And what year was it that you began that work?
60.
So how did you move from hardware to the church?
Well, When I came out of the Navy, I worked in a retail store in Oxford. And that's part-time while I finished my degree. And then when I went back to Peoria with my wife, I was looking for work, and I worked in a department store selling appliances, you know, refrigerators mm-hmm. and ranges. And one of the suppliers, you know, of refrigerators to the department store had an opening, and so I applied for it and got it, which evolved into being credit manager for that company. And we covered dealers throughout central Illinois between Chicago and St. Louis. And
that experience helped you get a job at the Synod office, or?
Well, that experience led to another Navy veteran in the church. We were both deacons in the church. And we sort of encouraged each other, you know, that the only way we would have lasting peace is through Christ. And he was a licensed architect, and we quit our jobs and went to seminary together. His grandfather had been a missionary in China years ago,
mm-hmm.
so that there was a seed planted with him. And it wasn't, I mean, I hadn't planned anything like that.
And how old were you when you went to seminary?
Let's see, I was, 28, I guess. Because I graduated when I was 31 in 54.
And did you serve a congregation?
Yes, I went back to Oxford, Ohio as pastor of the United Presbyterian Church, another a smaller denomination than ours, which merged in 1958. So the two of those churches merged, and denominations merged in 58.
And the new name was United Presbyterian Church?
Yes.
Of North America? Or?
No, the United Presbyterian Church of USA.
Okay.
Because the North America part was, that name was dropped. And it was a good experience. I didn't know the difference between the two denominations at first when I went to seminary, but then I learned. And we had worshiped in that church as students. And so they knew me, and so did the pastor who was leaving, and the preceding pastor also knew me, so that it was a good experience.
And how many years did you serve as pastor?
5 years there at that in Oxford. Yeah.
And did you serve other congregations after that?
No, I went to India from there.
I see. Yeah. So when you came back from India, how did your career path change?
Well, the Indian government expelled me.
Oh, I had forgotten. And why was that?
And that was because I had trouble getting in the first place. And they apparently someone had put a note in my file that they didn't need a Westerner. And so in spite of that, we were able to get there. Although when we got off the ship in Bombay, the immigration officer there and the CID got my passport, saw my name, then he reeled off a number that turned he by heart that he knew. And it was my registration number for, while I was in India.
Amazing.
Yes, and that was a surprise. And he was regularly at the docks, and I got acquainted with him. And he was a good friend. There, he helped with some other difficulties that of passengers. And so did the customs chief. He was another good Christian man.
So in a sense, eventually they caught up with you?
Yes, that's right. And after 4 years, one of the departments gave me a note saying that now you're on the same basis as all the other American missionaries. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a note from the home minister saying I had 30 days to get out. So there was a little disorganization in the government, too.
Was it a policy that missionaries stayed for just a limited period of time and then somebody new had to come in, or?
No. We had some old-timers who'd been, some of them had been born in India and then came back after school, after college, and served. The normal term was we had to be, the government of India insisted that you be in India for 5 years before leaving. In other words, you had to get a permission to return after serving 5 years in India. Then you could come back for another term, but you had to get the India 5 years in first, which was unique because the other mission areas in the world didn't have that kind of restriction. It was more of a 3 or 4 year term.
But they threw you out before you were there 5 years.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Surprising. I would love to go into deeper detail on all of this, but I have a limited amount of time,
yes.
So I'm going to move on.
Sure.
This one is related to the other one, and if you feel you've answered it, you can pass. It's what is one of the greatest accomplishments of your life?
Well, I feel good about the work in India, because even after returning here, other missionaries, as they returned to the States, would look me up and ask. I was sort of still an authority figure for them, of knowing who to ask questions of.
How to get things done.
Right.
In India.
Well, and here,
and in the
here
church.
In the States, after I got back.
Who has been the most influential person in your life?
Well, let's see. Probably Reverend Ed Fairman, who was my predecessor in Oxford. And he was our pastor while we were students. And he was encouraging me to consider ministry. And of course, at that point, I wasn't ready to do it.
What did you learn from him?
Well, I learned that the pastorate was a busy place to be, and could be a fun place too. So that he had a good sense of humor, and I was with others. Some of them were faculty members from Pittsburgh Seminary for conferences. And we all had a good time. And this was while I was, before I even considered seminary.
So he was a mentor to you,
yes,
would say.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell me a story about any lessons you learned from your parents?
Well, yes. When you're handling other people's money, it's not money. It's just pieces of silver. Because when I was a kid, I was treasurer of the youth budget program, which involved all the young people in the church, where they pledged and they paid, say, dime a week in an envelope, and that would come to me, and I would record it and then turn the money over to the church treasurer for deposit, to our account. And I learned how to keep up books like that from one of the church members who happened to be the controller of Caterpillar Tractor Company.
Amazing, the connections, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun together too, as he trained me.
Oh, I think I've already asked you about this. Were you drafted, or when did you enlist?
That was December. Actually, I enlisted in October, and then service started in December.
Did you want to enlist, or were you encouraged?
My draft number was coming up.
So it was really, you were compelled to enlist.
It was great incentive.
Yes, I would say. how did you tell your family and friends that you were joining the military?
Well, of course, everybody knew it.
Yeah, they knew your draft number.
Well, everybody was subject to draft in those days. And my father was a World War I veteran who served in France.
Wow. Did he have stories from the war? Did he talk about it?
A little bit, because he was not in combat either, but he was a company clerk and in a medical unit. You might say he was the radar.
Oh.
predecessor.
Okay, I see. Not Alan Alda's character.
No. No. And he talked about the rain and the mud and everything, and all the food shortages, and then he wondered why I joined the Navy.
Well, I was about to ask you, why did you choose the Navy?
Because I'd have a bunk.
Okay.
But my Army friends said, just try to bail out of foxhole.
What did they mean? If you went to the front, or
if the ship went down,
be sure you're not still in your bunk.
Well, in other words, they can dig a hole and hide.
I see.
We couldn't dig a hole in the water.
What was basic training like?
It was very cold. It was a hard winter there in 42, 43, and.
And where was the basic training?
In north of Chicago at Great Lakes.
Oh,
Navy
Great Lakes
Station.
You mentioned that. I think my uncles may have been there.
No doubt. It's a big base.
One of them met a girl from the Upper Peninsula and stayed in Michigan the rest of his life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. After he went to war, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a funny moment from boot camp?
Hmm.
Or were you just trying to stay thawed?
Yeah, we're just trying to stay warm and well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, by the way, too, just as an aside, I was elected honor man of the company by our company.
Is that a peer?
That's
award.
Just recognition.
And how many men are in the car? At that time, it was all men, I assume.
Yes, it was all men. And And it was 120, I believe, in the company.
Wow. What are some of your hopes for the future?
Well, to get out of these dark ages of the politics right now and get a new administration with sense and sensitivity. And I mean, the inhumanity of the present administration with immigrants especially is just appalling. And I can't understand how they can be so hard-hearted.
I can't say I disagree.
No.
I meant to ask you earlier, where is your ancestry? From what country do you originate?
Yeah, we came from England. Around 1830.
Do you know why your ancestors immigrated?
Was no.
And your wife's family, are you?
They were based in Wales.
So, and she was Presbyterian too, I assume?
No, she was Baptist.
Okay.
We were married in her Baptist church.
Southern Baptist or American Baptist?
American Baptist.
Okay, I see.
Yes, in Southern Ohio.
And what about your grandparents and great-grandparents? Do you know, were they all from England?
Well, as far as I know.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you remember about them? Stories they told or experiences they had? Did they tell you much of their history?
No. I did not meet any of my grandfathers. They were all gone earlier. And so the widows, the grandmothers, I knew. In fact, my father's mother lived with us, just routinely. And after her husband died, and he died about before I was born. And the same with the other grandparent.
Do you remember any certain family traditions that were passed down?
No, I don't.
Nothing different from the rest of the culture, I assume.
Well, my father was raised next to the firehouse in Peoria, and one of the firehouses where they still had horse-drawn fire trucks. And so that sparked an interest in fire departments for me too. And
do you remember the horse-drawn?
No.
That was before you, that was when he was younger.
Yes, when he was young. And then my uncle on my mother's side, one of my uncles, was a fireman. And we visit at the station occasionally on the way home from school. My friends and I.
Can you tell me one of your happiest childhood memories? Would that count as one? The visiting the firehouse, or did you have other memories?
No, let's see, I can't think of. I mean, it was just generally good.
Loving parents.
Yes.
Good
yes.
Relationship.
I was a sickly kid. I had bronchitis and wasn't treated, the way it is now. And it would drag out that I'd miss a lot of school, then I have to make it up. And I did. I made it up all right. But,
what did you, has your life turned out differently than you imagined?
Oh, yes.
More, better, worse?
Oh, better. Yeah.
More adventure.
Oh, I'm grateful.
Well, I yeah, it sounds like you've had a rich and exciting experience.
Or